on the injury front, how is everybody?
No, we're in good shape. You know, Anthony Wadsworth will still be missing, but outside Anthony and everyone else will be available, so good.
What's the prognosis with Wordsworth then? How long do you think he'll be before he's available?
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. We're getting quite close when he had. I'll have Anthony around till the 30th of the month anyway. So it's, you know, whether he'll be back available for the Boxing Day and the 28 fixtures, we'll see. But beyond that, he would, you know, unless we extend him, he'll be back at Ipswich.
You've had this, you've changed the plan, you've tweaked the plan over recent weeks, and within that there's been changes to the personnel too. Do you change again, or were you happy enough to sort of go with same again from the Cardiff?
Well, we won't necessarily be same again, but we'll be very close to same again. I think the performance, Andy, if I'm being genuine, was quite stunning away from home. If we'd have come away from Cardiff beating them 3-0, and, you know, we have meetings with our players every week, but one of the things I said to the players this week, if we'd have gone to Cardiff and been in the top 6 or 7 in the league, I think Cardiff City fans would have left the ground saying, well, I think they're going to be up there anyway, challenging for promotion. But when you're down at towards the bottom end, they go away thinking this has just run over you and it's there for the poor performance. I don't think Cardiff City for 1 minute were poor. I think we were very good.
Is the plan in your mind to get to that settled team, or will you look at it on a match-by-match basis where you will make changes as you see fit? Or do you want that starting 11 and barring injury and suspension, that'll be it?
No, I'm far from it. You know, we pick our team based on merit, based on performances, and we'll be very close to the Cardiff team, and so we should be when you play as well as that. We may tweak it a little bit in terms of the shape within that team, but the style of play will be the same. We're in this little period of evolution where we're becoming a championship club compared to a club that can muscle people out in League One and Two. So we have to have more ball retention, but what comes with that is also a responsibility to do that in the right areas, and a responsibility at the end of that to have an end product. And, you know, that was the only thing that was missing last week, but that was thanks largely to the boy Marshall on goal, who's certainly for me in the top 2 or 3 goalkeepers in the league, and as you're aware, played a lot of Premiership football last season.
It's interesting, isn't it, at the moment, that you are starting this evolutionary process, and in a month's time or thereabouts, maybe almost 2 months, the loan window will have come and gone, and things may well, in personnel terms at least, have changed for Rotherham United.
Well, certainly the style won't change. And, you know, there's dialogue going on between us and the parent clubs of the boys that we brought in now to see where the plan is for January. We'd be foolish to wake up in the middle of January when these loan deals are expiring, to wake up then and say what we're going to do. And we also have other players that we've identified similar to the lads that we brought in who can come in with them, same qualities and those same ingredients to come in and fit seamlessly straight in.
Do you want to keep, I know it's only been 2 games really for some of them, but has it always been in your mind to try and keep the players that you brought in on the last loan deadline day for longer than it originally planned?
Yes, every one of them. Every one of them has brought a real freshness to our dressing room, a real freshness to the training ground. If anything, it's increased the quality of the players we had here. And there's a lot of players here, you know, the Pringles and the Smallwoods and people like Arnesons who are really embracing now what we've done in the last 2 weeks. And if anything, we're looking even a lot better preparing for Forest than what we did for Cardiff. And if you said to me now I could have a Cardiff performance on Saturday, I would take it off your hands. What I need is just a little bit more of an end product and the goalkeeper to be less fortunate as the boy Marshall was.
When you we'll probably talk more about this nearer the time, but for the time being, in terms of loan planning, Becchio's injured at the minute, but do you go back for him because end product is what you were expecting from him, injury aside?
Well, when we got him fit, he produced end product. He produced a couple of goals in 3 games. But, you know, I've been speaking to Luciano quite a bit in the last week. He starts full training on Monday at Norwich. And then, obviously, after 3 or 4 days, there'll be an assessment made as to, you know, whether he's fully and wholly ready to perhaps become a Miller again until January. But we need to see him come through that 3 or 4 days training, because as much as they can run up and down a treadmill, as much as they can do gym work, and as much as they can work privately with a physiotherapist and rehabilitation team at Norwich City, it's what they do when they go in with the main group. And Luciano's looking forward to Monday.
If that doesn't work out, or aside from that, is the plan still to maybe make an addition in the forward area in January? Because you've obviously some of the lads that you've got, the Lawrence has come in, etc., etc. Is it still that forward that you're looking for?
Yes.
Right. And do you have that plan in mind as a maybe a plan B if it's not Becchio?
Well, I wouldn't call it a plan B. I think we've got about three plan A's. And as we find out in the Championship, it's more difficult to get players. And it's more difficult because the resources demanded, whether it be fee if you're a Championship club or whether it be salary and packages and all the other stuff that go with that, then it has to be well thought out. But, you know, Chief Exec's had a conversation with a couple of clubs, and he's obviously also been speaking to Norwich, because, you know, up until a certain day in January, then Luciano's our player. So although he's getting his treatment elsewhere, but there is other strikers that we're very keen on bringing here, but of course has to fit in.
Mm. Outs then, if you get everything you want, are there players here that you'd like to see elsewhere, albeit only in the short term, January onwards?
Well, none of the main core group. No. The main core group is the lads you see involved. Obviously we've put two or three out on loan. I know Loach's back with us because he pulled a calf muscle, but you're looking at, you know, obviously we've got Rob Mielsen and people like Richard Brindley and that out. But, you know, if the ones that are not getting around the match day squad as we head towards the 2015 bells, then they'll be the ones that perhaps will have to move on.
So Loach, how long do you think he will be injured for? And, I mean, if Colin's still pulling up trees in January, would the same apply? He might go somewhere else for a bit.
Well, maybe. It depends on the performances of Adam, of course. That's first and foremost. You know, Loachy probably will be back at Bury probably a week on Monday and back with them for the rest of his loan period, which is then a couple of weeks after that. But we probably get to a certain stage in the season, whether it be January, whenever, that we'll keep two goalkeepers in the camp anyway, as opposed to keeping Adam with young Tony backing him up. It might be that we run back with the both.
So, good performance at Cardiff. What do you want to see as a progression for that? When Forest come to town on Saturday?
I think obviously the obvious answer is a goal or two. There's never been a football match won yet when you don't score a goal, unless it's something bizarre. But the performance really at Spells at Cardiff was super. And there was only David Marshall that stopped the scoring. Two or three saves from Alex. The one from Tom Lawrence where he's driven it low midway through the half. Other exceptional saves, and dare I say it only would be made by a top keeper, but no doubt not in a Forest keeper, it'll be another top keeper because that's the quality of clubs that we're playing. But an end product on top of some of the things we did on Saturday, because some of the things we did at Cardiff, and the words of the players, not me, but when we reviewed it on Monday, you know, your Ravels and your Morgans and Arnesons were saying it's an absolute pleasure to stand at the back of that and watch that in front of you, how well they're playing.
So Nottingham Forest now at the moment, well fancied, but perhaps just coming through what for them was a sticky spell. Does that? How do you view them at the minute?
Well, I view them as a wounded animal that's got a new leg. Into it, they started the season terrifically well. They lost away a little bit, and I think when you looked at the teams that Stuart was putting on the field, it can be attributed nothing other than a loss of form by key individuals. But I think Stuart freshened them up and woke them up a little bit before they went to Molyneux. They went to Wolves and won very, very easily, doing handstands. And they had a poor first half performance against Charlton. And I would call it a bit of a scrappy game, if you like, but Stuart would expect more than that. But what has to be said, the second half performance against Charlton last week was quite stunning. Mm-hmm. And if it had showed 4 or 5 to Forest, then that would have been fair. But they've got an outstanding manager who was recruited to go back in there and create a tenacity and a spirit within the group that was missing. And he's done that. A fabulous assistant in Brian Eastwick. And I think between them, when you see the strike pairing, which will be here on Saturday, Asim Oblong, of course, his suspension's over, who missed Charlton, is back. And Matty Fry, of course, who's well known in this area as well, two top-class players and backed up by an array of talent. I'm not building up to what they're not, but I don't think there's anyone in the Championship who'd be surprised if Nottingham Forest was in the Premier League next year, but they have a lot to do to get there.
You look at that on paper, they must have their fallibilities though, otherwise they wouldn't have struggled over the last 6 weeks perhaps in the way that they have.
Well, I said, I think it was players, some key players, some big players, some lost a bit of form. And if you have, at any level, we had it in Leagues 1 and 2, and if you have three or four players that dip on sudden days or dip for 2 or 3 weeks, Andy, it doesn't go your way. But I think you have to have an ability as a manager and a realism about a manager. And Stuart Pearce ticks all those boxes for me, where he's probably looked at that and said, well, I'm going to have to change this around a little bit, and I'm going to have to bring different personnel in and freshen it and give them an opportunity. And those guys grabbed that in Molyneux, and they certainly grabbed it. He made some changes at half-time last Saturday. He made two changes because he wasn't happy with what he'd seen, and arguably the two changes were the best two players on the pitch for the second 45. So we're also coming up against a very tactically and respected manager.
In the past, we've spoken to you about blocks of games as a six. And what about this next six games? Do you have a minimum, a bare minimum, as to what you want to see points-wise from your players?
Well, the initial requirement would be 18 from six. But you know, and I know that would be waking up in a sort of a dreamland. But we've always targeted 2 points a game in any six we play, and then within that we can break it down. And it was quite interesting. I've seen different clubs do an analysis recently where it's based on six. Sometimes they overachieve, sometimes they underachieve. But it's a key period. You know, we've got the former European champions coming here on Saturday, and then we have, for me, three big games. We have, obviously, we take the trip to Wigan, and we come back to Huddersfield, and we go up to Blackpool. And that's three teams that we would say is in a mini league of 10 that we are fighting with desperately to get points.
Final point from me. Rotherham United in the last few years have built a lot of success on ambition and drive, etc. And when upon promotion to this level, that ambition continued, and there's a lot of talk about doing all sorts, really, and seeing what was possible this year. Given the way things are just at the minute and where you are on the table, is it about protecting that first and making sure it's safety first and then building on that? Or do you still hold the same ambitions of a decent high place finish this year?
No, it's still the latter. It's still a decent high place finish. I think otherwise we wouldn't have changed the style. We'd have tried to grind our way through it. What we've had to do is evolutionise ourselves to become a championship club. You know, early in the season, we were giving the ball away too easily. And when you give the ball away in the championship, what happens? You don't get it back and you get punished. So our recruitment that prior to the loan window closing was to go and bring players in who were young, who were hungry, but more importantly, were used to keeping the ball. And with three out of your four loan signings, I've come through 5 or 6 years at Old Trafford. Mm. The one thing they're taught is, you should take the ball to bed, son, is what Sir Alex used to tell them, because that's your living when you wake up in the morning. And those kids have brought that, and Manu's brought that. And you know what? Suddenly the Ben Pringles has come alive. Suddenly, you know, Alec Ravel at Cardiff came alive a bit, ball retention. And not just a bit ball retention. Let's lose it once or twice, but let's lose it in the back of their net.